This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious God, we come before you today. Thank you that in you, you make us alive. Alive inside. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'm wondering how many of you are in the medical profession here. If you could just raise your hand. Medical profession. Lance, I think, right? So I was, many years ago, when I was doing nursing, I was really upset because there's this policy in the medical field. Lance, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong here, in your experience. In Bethesda Hospital, where I was working, when someone died, and this was my first week as a nurse, when someone died, the unit clerk put a sign on the front of the chart that said, expired, right? Well, I really didn't know what to do about that because I'm thinking they're not library books. You know, this isn't like somebody's overdue and expired. And so I was lamenting about this one day, and a good friend, doctor that I know, came to me and said, Wendy, not to worry. Expire is the opposite of inspire. One of the definitions is to let out a breath or the last breath. And so it's just simply that the spirit has left him. Well, then that was fine. So we inspire and we expire. And then as I went on in my spiritual life, I found out that that word spirit has the same root word as inspire and expire and respire, respiration. Spirare is the root for spirit and for those other words as well. In the Hebrew, the ruha is the word. It can mean spirit or breath or wind or air. And in the Greek, pneuma is air, but also spirit and also breath. So this connection between the Holy Spirit and our very breath is so entwined that it's amazing. It's amazing. If we don't have an airway, we die, right? So Jesus today in the gospel, when he's speaking to us and he's saying, it is the spirit that gives life, the flesh is useless, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So it makes more sense when you think about that as your own very breath, your own very being in life and in living. And our life within our flesh is that divine spark given only from God as the great creator. So to know how to be alive inside and how to follow Christ is what he was talking about in all the Gospels for the last several weeks and probably every Gospel. I found this video that I'd like to show you now that was sent to me by my sister. And it's, I have to just tell you, in the very beginning, you'll hear from a recreational therapist. It's set in I believe an Alzheimer's facility. And the name of the video is Alive Inside. And they're making a documentary. They're trying to raise the money now. So keep your ear out for it because it's going to be a great show. This is just a 6-minute clip. And in the beginning, the recreational therapist is talking about a woman in the nursing home who came alive with music. They put headphones on her and they thought that she was just gone and non-responsive, and she came alive. You can hardly understand that that's what she's saying, so that's why I'm telling you that. And then she starts to talk about Henry, and the video will tell you about Henry. The only thing I will say that it took me a little while to know is he mentions Cab Calloway, who is this great musician who does something called scatting. And I know our musicians know what that is, but could you, somebody give me a sample of scatting? Could you do that? I know, putting you on the spot. Can you, you were doing it earlier. What's scatting? Like dubba 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 dubba, like you, isn't that it? Right? You can't do it, okay. But you know what I mean? They make these noises in their mouth, like dubba 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 da da da, but they do it with music. Am I right, Charles? Is that right? Yeah, that's it. Thank you, yeah. So he's a New Orleans boy. He knows that. That's right. So that's what he's talking about. So let's watch this clip. Oh, come on.
One resident that barely opened her eyes, she didn't respond.
Could you turn it up, Sherry, please?
As much as I tried, I knew her for 2 years. No matter what I tried, massage wouldn't work, nothing worked. But when we got introduced to the iPods and the family told me the things that she liked, it was amazing once we put the iPod on her. She started shaking her feet. She started moving her head. Her son was just amazed. Okay, can we stop? Because now I'm getting OR. I'm seeing her all over again. How long has he been in the nursing home? Approximately 10 years. He was having seizures, and my mother couldn't handle him at home. Of course it affected me greatly, because he was always, fun-loving, singing, every occasion he would come out with a song, no matter where he was. I remember as a child, he used to walk us down the street, me and my brother, and he would stop and do Singing in the Rain. He would have us jumping and swinging around poles. He was, he was good. He was always into music, always loved singing, dancing.
His name is Henry Dreyer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking more or less for religious music for him.
Okay.
Because he enjoys music and he always quoting the Bible. So I'd rather have that for him.
We first see Henry inert, maybe depressed, unresponsive, and almost unalive.
Henry.
Yeah.
Henry.
Yes, sir.
I found your music. You want your music now?
Well, not you, okay.
Let's try your music, okay? And then you tell me if it's too loud or not.
Then he is given an iPod containing, we know, his favorite music. And immediately he lights up. His face assumes expression. His eyes open wide. He starts to sing and to rock and to move his arms, and he's being animated by the music.
And he used to always sit on the unit with his head like this. He didn't really talk to much people. And then when I introduced the music to him, this is his reaction ever since.
The philosopher Kant once called music the quickening art. And Henry is being quickened. He's being brought to life.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the music for 1 second, okay? Just to ask you a few questions. I'm going to back to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The effect of this doesn't stop, because when the headphones are taken off, Henry, normally mute and virtually unable to answer the simplest yes or no questions, is quite voluble.
Henry?
Yeah?
Do you like the iPod? Do you like the music you're hearing?
Yes.
Tell me about your music.
Well, I don't have one, I mean.
Do you like music?
Yeah, I'm crazy about music. You play beautiful music, beautiful sound.
Did you play music when you were? Did you like music when you were young?
Yes, I went to big dances and things.
What was your favorite music when you were young?
Well, I guess, Cab Calloway was my number one band guy. I like.
What's your favorite Cab Calloway song?
Oh, I'll be home there for Christmas. You can count plans on me with plenty of snow, mistletoe, present, red brand new tree. Ow!
So, in some sense, Henry is restored to himself. He has remembered who he is. And he's reacquired his identity for a while through the power of music.
What does music do to you?
Give me the feeling of love. No man, figure right now the world need to come into music singing. You got beautiful music here. Beautiful, oh, lovely. And I feel the band of love, dream. Lord came to me, made me holy. I'm a holy man. So he gave me this sound. I'll just say, I meet you. Let me see. Rosalie, won't you love me? Rosalie, won't you be sweet kind?
With this beautiful new technology, you can have all the music which is significant for you in something as big as a matchbox or whatever. And I think this may be very, very important in helping to animate, organize, and bring a sense of identity back to people who are out of it. Otherwise, music will bring them back into it, into their own personhood, their own memories, their own autobiographies.
Henry, what was going on now with Henry? Why do you think he was alive inside? Anybody just say it out. He was remembering, right. In fact, the documentary is going to be called Memory and Music. What else? He was inspired. Yeah, there's that root word again, inspired. What else was going on with him? A relationship with the music. Yeah. A relationship. Reminded of that, yeah. Reminded of his relationship with music and with these artists. And his soul. His soul. Yeah, what did he say on that screen? I'm a holy man. I'm a holy man. So then I want to ask you, how are you alive inside? What inspires you, takes your breath away? And this can be for your whole life. Just give me examples. I saw that. Yes, that does.
He was reconnected, and I connected it to the words of the Eucharist, remembering. We were, in a sense, remembered, brought together.
Yeah.
He's having a renewal of that in a most inspiring way.
Exactly. So how are you inspired? What takes your breath away in your lifetime? Maybe it hasn't happened for a while. What kind of a memory do you have? Awareness. Tell me a specific memory you have that took your breath away. Something specific. Just an example. Family, like what?
Like Christmas mornings.
Yeah.
Everyone's there and everyone's just enjoying
the company. Okay, so that connection to family, right? That's inspiring. What else? How about a baby? Like the birth of a baby? Yeah, what else? The ocean. The ocean, yeah. And watching this storm. What else? Anything else? What takes your breath away? How about when somebody dies? Takes your breath away, right? That what? Creating touch. Yeah. So these times in our life where we are alive inside, these moments of birth, these moments of death, these moments and we realize ultimately that there's a power greater than us. So that's what we got from Henry, right? He was saying, I am a holy man. These sounds just come into me because he was connecting to the truth of who he really was. And he was alive, and he had been unresponsive before, completely unresponsive. So it's still alive inside. And when Jesus Christ says to us, my words are spirit and life, he's talking about our very existence. And to follow him means to do exactly as he's taught us. And as we talked about last week, to eat of everything that he is and the truth of who he is. And that's the living bread, to live out our lives and to be Christ in action. And that's what we'll do in this Eucharist as we receive that which we are and take it out into the world. And in closing, I have a little story that I hope you'll forgive me, Sam Mancuso, or anybody who is Italian, that I'm going to try to do a little Italian accent. Dawn Attani Wilhelm wrote this. She says, when my grandmother immigrated to the U.S. from Italy, she had high hopes for her children's prosperity in the land of plenty. Yet she often puzzled over what she saw as the pursuit of happiness. Pointing to the loaves of bread at the local supermarket, I remember her asking, why do people eat of these things? They have a no taste. She used to say that life was too short to eat anything but good bread, to drink anything but good wine. Little wonder we spent nearly every Saturday of my childhood making our own bread, pizza, and pasta for our family. Why settle for bread that is not a bread, for life that is not a life? Amen.